Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today, we're going to talk about something different.
Yes, I'm excited, Bill. I mean, we're going to talk about Bill's return from hell.
That's right. So I usually don't get to share this part, you know, when we speak at churches too much because we're usually out of time. But this was a pretty exciting part of this trip, mainly because, you know, I actually met Jesus. So that is worth talking about. And, you know, I shared before that I never saw his face. I just saw the outline of a man standing in a bright, pure, holy light, like no light I had ever seen. But when we were ascending up this tunnel out of hell, then we kept ascending above the earth. We were in like a whirlwind tunnel. There's scripture for this too, but to keep moving, we went above the earth, and then I looked back at the earth. We were out in space, actually, and I looked back and could see the earth just hung there on nothing, as Job 26:7 says, he hangeth the earth upon nothing. And it was amazing to see God's creation, what's holding it up, what's making it turn so perfectly. I was just amazed to look at the earth from space. And, you know, that was a real blessing to me because as a child, I actually wanted to be an astronaut. And I believe God remembered that thought, and he allowed me to see the earth from space. I mean, how many people have seen that? Just astronauts. And it's so glorious. I mean, I don't know how you could not get saved seeing this.
That is so exciting. I just think that is amazing of the Lord, how precious our thoughts are even to him, like it says in Psalms, that he remembered that. And it says if we delight ourselves in him, he gives us the desires of our heart. Look how he did that.
Right. He remembered something that would be pleasing to me, you know, that I would enjoy. So anyway, I was looking at all this, and then I looked out at the stars and the universe, and I could grasp a little bit more than we can here of how big it is and how big he is. I mean, the trillions and billions, countless number of stars and planets, and how he's controlling every one of them. Not one is colliding. Not one's out of his control. And, you know, I was just like, wow, this is a big God. And then I looked back at the earth, and I thought, look at this earth. It's turning so perfectly at 1,000 miles an hour, not varying even 1 mile per hour every day. And I could grasp the huge oceans not moving, you know, and staying put. You know, there's four scriptures where he said he commands the waters to stand still and to not move past their appointed place. And I could grasp that, like, man, the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and they're not spilling onto the land, the great seas, the great oceans, and his control. And I thought about all the people on the earth and how he knows every thought and every hair on our head. And I thought, this is a big God. He's controlling all this. He knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. And so, you know, that shows us God hears our prayers, and because he's a big God.
And so absolutely.
All this was exciting to me.
And how much he loves each one of us. You know, he has all that power, though, and then all that love.
Right.
That is amazing.
Oh, I thought about that. I thought, Lord, good thing you are a God of love. With all that power, and I understood it's endless power that he controls the universe and everything, and with all that power, it's a good thing he's a good God.
Yeah, so, you know, we know then that everything is within his knowledge, and it's within his control, and of course, everything that happens on the earth is not his will, but we do know that he is aware of every detail in our lives, and, you know, Bill, that's why, you know, it encourages us as Christians to pray. And pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
You know, and exactly. And that he hears us, and he's so ready to help us, forgive us, and aid us in whatever, you know, difficulty we're going through.
Right. You know, and just to back up a minute on, you know, I'd said how when you see the earth from space, I don't know how you couldn't become a Christian, because you see God's glorious creation and how powerful he is and who is turning this earth, what's holding it up. All those things enter your mind. And, you know, my parents used to host a lot of the astronaut parties because they lived in near Cape Canaveral, Cocoa Beach area. And they said that many of the astronauts became Christian. So many of them became Christian after they went out in space and saw this.
I can imagine. They see all of God's design.
Right. And it's round also. You know, some people think it's a flat earth. And no, it's a globe, just like the Isaiah 40 verse 22 says. And, you know, God sits upon the circle of the earth.
Yes, and there's spherical, isn't there spherical geometry that they
have? Spherical trigonometry.
Or trigonometry that they have to learn, right?
Right. To navigate.
That's amazing. So, Bill, you know, after that, I know you came through the atmosphere. You were traveling with the Lord, enjoying all of his goodness, right?
Right. Well, first, he had me look back down at that whirlwind tunnel we came out of, and I saw people falling one after another, back down into hell, the place I just came out of. And he allowed me to feel peace of his heart, the anguish he feels for a soul falling into hell. And I could not bear it, not even to feel a little piece of the anguish he feels. You know, Ephesians 3:19 says his love passes knowledge. So he loves people a lot more than we can even comprehend. And he doesn't want to see a person go to hell. Isaiah says, Ezekiel says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And so he allowed me to feel that, so I would have a compassion, more of a compassion than we normally do, for people going to hell. So I would share the gospel. Now, we're all called to share the gospel, but it just gave me more of an urgency when I understood the great love he has for man and so forth. So we now we started descending on the earth, and we came up, you know, quickly traveling back down to the earth, came up on California, and came up to our home. And I could view through the roof. I could see right through the roof and see my body lying on the floor.
Because you were in your spirit body and right. In the spirit realm.
Right. And it was so strange to look at your body lying on the floor. I thought, that's not me. This is the real me. The spirit man is the real me. The body looked so temporal. And it looked just like if you were to get out of your car. The car's not you. It's just a vehicle to get you around in life. Well, the body is the same. And so that was a real awakening to me to see the difference of the body and the spirit and so forth. So I came back into my body.
And I remember, Bill, too, you said that scripture really came alive to you when the Apostle Paul said that this body is only a tent.
Right.
Right? That really hit you when you read that in the Bible after you coming back from this experience.
Right. A temporary dwelling place until we get our new glorified bodies. But I came back in my body, and then, see, when I was traveling back with the Lord, 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. Well, he's perfect love. I had no fear with him. But when he left, the memories of hell flooded back into my mind. And it's so terrifying seeing hell. It so shook me up. I started screaming, and I was on the floor. I apparently, you found me, screaming because of the horrors of hell were on my mind. And you can't live here with that much horror in your mind. It's so severe seeing hell. I really felt I was dying.
And that's because Jesus then left in the sense of, so perfect love casts out fear. Right. And now you didn't have him right there with you.
So my screams woke you up.
Oh, absolutely. I remember that. And I was sound asleep. And we had a digital clock to the left of me on like a nightstand. And when I heard you screaming, I woke up, I looked at the clock, I saw 3:23, and I know you had, you know, gotten up to get a glass of water at 3:00.
Right.
So that's where the 23 minutes in hell comes from. But when I proceeded down the hallway and I found you in that state of absolute terror, I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to call 911. He's having a heart attack or something. And I was like, Bill, what's wrong? What's wrong? And, you know, you screamed out and you said, the Lord took me to hell. Pray for me. Pray that the Lord will take the fear from my mind. And of course, I've never seen you that way because you're very, you know, reserved. You're a calm person. You're very steady, even tempered. And you've always been that way in your personality. So to see you like so fearful and like out of control in that fetal position, just rocking back and forth. That was like completely against your nature.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so it just took me just a few seconds to kind of process what I heard, you know, the shock of what I was hearing. But I did feel, you know, this had to be the Lord, because I really felt a sense of peace inside when you, after you said that, I believed you, of course, completely. And I had that sense of relief knowing you weren't having a heart attack and God was with us. You're going to be okay. And I just started to pray. And after a short while, you did calm down and you started to, you know, regain your composure. You know, your breathing was back to normal, and you were able to gather your thoughts, and Lord is so gracious. He just took the horror from your mind, but left the memory.
Right. He separated the two, which God can do that. He can divide both soul and spirit. And thank God he did. And I remember the first thing I wanted was a glass of water. I was so thirsty. You know, in hell, there's not one drop of water like Luke 16, the rich man Jesus talked about. He wanted a drop of water, just one, to cool his tongue because he was tormented in the flame. And anyway, I so value water now. I did before, but now especially so. But it was so beautiful when I remember you got a glass of water. And to look at it, it was like, wow, this is life in a glass. You know, Revelation 21:6 equates water with life. Well, in hell, there is no life. So to see life contained in a glass was so beautiful and precious. So you know, we just appreciate water. You know, it's a good thing to drink and it's healthy for you.
Absolutely. We are heavy water drinkers in this household. You know, that is, but also Bill, when you came back with the Lord, didn't you see also like a puff of smoke go up?
Right. I did. When we were hovering above the home, our home, we stopped there and just were hovering. And then I saw like a puff of smoke, like a tea kettle type of smoke go up. And I said, Lord, what's that? He said, that's your life. I said, that's it? It was over that fast, just like it would be in a tea kettle, steam. And, you know, James 4:14 says, life is but a vapor. So, you know, God allowed me to see how short our lifespan is compared to eternity. I thought, Lord, we don't have a lot of time. And he said, yes, but what you do for me during that short time, I will count for all eternity. Well, that gave me a better overall eternal perspective. You know, we need to do everything we can for God, but we don't have a lot of time here. So it really quickened my mind to have a passion for the lost. You know, people that are going to hell every day, and God's entrusted us with a gospel. So we need to share the truth so people don't have to go there. And that's what it did when I understood, man, life is short. Even if you live 100 years, it's nothing compared to eternity. It's over that fast.
And it really does. I mean, that would in an instant give you an eternal perspective, and how your problems, your difficulties would all kind of vanish away at that moment. You know, you're really seeing life through God's eyes in a sense, right?
Exactly. All the things we think are so important here in life really are not, a lot of them anyway, that waste our time, or we could be doing things for the Lord that he will remember and will be rewarded for it in heaven. Especially as witnessing, sharing the word, and being a good example of a Christian to people. So they observe you, and then that is a good witness of the Heavenly Father, you know?
Absolutely. And then, you know, to just think that no matter what difficulty I may be going through, I know that I'm going to one day be with the Lord forever, and I don't have, he saved me from this place. I don't have to be in hell for eternity.
Right.
I mean, just remembering that every day would just cause any of us to just, as Christians, to just thank him, praise him, be grateful for each day we have, because we get to spend eternity with him. And then we even have the privilege of bringing others with us.
That's right. You know, just like we've heard from some people write us, prisoners that are in prison for life, a life sentence. And they've said, you know, I read your book and I got saved. And he said, I don't like being here for all my life in this prison, but I'm so glad I'm saved now, because I would have been in a prison cell for all eternity. And that's a perspective, you know. So God has saved us. If we repent and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then he saves us and takes us to heaven. And we don't have to go to that horrible place. But if we deny him and don't repent, people will end up in this place for all eternity. And if they could see it for 5 seconds, they'd run to God. They'd be so grateful for the cross. You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the only way to heaven. So I just urge anybody listening to please do not put this decision of salvation off. Because if you die 1 second later, you don't have a second chance. You will not get a second chance. You have to receive him now while you're breathing. So I urge you, read the Bible, see what Jesus said. He is the only way to heaven, and a repentance is required. Just turn to him. He loves you. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And that's the good news of the gospel.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.